Happy Monday, and welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 456. I'm your host, Steve Webb. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Each day we alternate those tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we'll read chapters 12 and 13 of 1 Chronicles from the Good News Translation. Let's begin. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. David was living in Ziklag, where he had gone to escape from King Saul. There he was joined by many experienced, reliable soldiers, members of the tribe of Benjamin, to which Saul belonged. They could shoot arrows and sling stones either right-handed or left-handed. They were under the command of Ahiezer and Joash, sons of Shemaiah, from Gibeah. These were the soldiers: Jeziel and Pelet, sons of Azmaveth; Beraka and Jehu from Anathoth; Ishmaiah from Gibeon, a famous soldier and one of the leaders of the 30; Jeremiah, Jehaziel, Johanan, and Jozabad from Gedera; Eluzai, Jeremoth, Bealiah, Shemariah, and Shephatiah from Harith; Elkanah, Ishiah, Azarel, Joezer, and Jeshobeam of the clan of Korah; Joelah and Zebediah, sons of Jeroham, from Gedor. These are the names of the famous, experienced soldiers from the tribe of Gad who joined David's troops when he was at the desert fort. They were experts with shields and spears, as fierce-looking as lions, and as quick as mountain deer. They were ranked in the following order: Ezer, Obadiah, Eliab, Mishmana, Jeremiah, Attai, Eliel, Johanan, Elzabad, Jeremiah, and Macbani. Some of these men from the tribe of Gad were senior officers in command of 1,000 men, and others were junior officers in command of 100. In the first month of 1 year, the time when the Jordan River overflowed its banks, they crossed the river, scattering the people who lived in the valleys both east and west of the river. Once a group of men from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah went out to the fort where David was. David went to meet them and said, "If you are coming as friends to help me, you're welcome here. Join us. But if you intend to betray me to my enemies, even though I have not tried to hurt you, the God of our ancestors will know it and punish you." God's Spirit took control of one of them, Amasai, who later became the commander of the 30, and he called out, "David, son of Jesse, we are yours. Success to you and those who help you. God is on your side." David welcomed them and made them officers in his army. Some soldiers from the tribe of Manasseh went over to David's side when he was marching out with the Philistines to fight King Saul. Actually, he did not help the Philistines, for their kings were afraid that he would betray them to his former master Saul, so they sent him back to Ziklag. These are the soldiers from Manasseh who went over to David's side when he was returning: Adna, Jozabad, Jediael, Michael, Jozabad, Elihu, and Zilithai. In Manasseh, they had all commanded units of 1,000 men. They served David as officers over his troops because they were all outstanding soldiers. Later, they were officers in the Israelite army. Almost every day, new men joined David's forces, so that his army was soon enormous. When David was at Hebron, many trained soldiers joined his army to help make him king in place of Saul, as the Lord had promised. Their numbers were as follows: Judah, 6,800 well-equipped men, armed with shields and spears; Simeon, 7,100 well-trained men; Levi, 4,600 men; followers of Jehoiada, descendant of Aaron, 3,700 men; relatives of Zadok, an able young fighter, 22 leading men; Benjamin, Saul's own tribe, 3,000 men. Most of the people of Benjamin had remained loyal to Saul. Ephraim, 20,800 men famous in their own clans; West Manasseh, 18,000 men chosen to go and make David king; Issachar, 200 leaders, together with the men under their command. These leaders knew what Israel should do in the best time to do it; Zebulun, 50,000 loyal and reliable men ready to fight, trained to use all kinds of weapons; Naphtali, 1,000 leaders, together with 37,000 men armed with shields and spears; Dan, 28,600 men; Asher, 40,000 men ready for battle. Tribes east of the Jordan, Reuben, Gad, and East Manasseh, 120,000 men trained to use all kinds of weapons. All these soldiers, ready for battle, went to Hebron, determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the people of Israel were united in the same purpose. They spent 3 days there with David, feasting on the food and drink which their relatives had prepared for them. From as far away as the northern tribes of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, people came bringing donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen loaded with food, flour, figs, raisins, wine, and olive oil. They also brought cattle and sheep to kill and eat. All this was an expression of the joy that was felt throughout the whole country. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. King David consulted with all the officers in command of units of 1,000 men and units of 100 men. Then he announced to all the people of Israel, "If you give your approval, and if it is the will of the Lord our God, let us send messengers to the rest of our people and to the priests and Levites in their towns, and tell them to assemble here with us. Then we will go and get God's covenant box, which was ignored while Saul was king." The people were pleased with the suggestion and agreed to it. So David assembled the people of Israel from all over the country, from the Egyptian border in the south to Hamath Pass in the north, in order to bring the covenant box from Kiriath-Jearim to Jerusalem. David and the people went to the city of Baalah, that is, to Kiriath-Jearim, in the territory of Judah, to get the covenant box of God, which bears the name of the Lord enthroned above the winged creatures. At Abinadab's house, they brought out the covenant box and put it on a new cart. Uzzah and Ahio guided the cart, while David and all the people danced with all their might to honor God. They sang and played musical instruments, harps, drums, cymbals, and trumpets. As they came to the threshing place of Kidon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out and took hold of the covenant box. At once the Lord became angry with Uzzah and killed him for touching the box. He died there in God's presence, and so that place has been called Perez Uzzah ever since. David was furious because the Lord had punished Uzzah in anger. Then David was afraid of God and said, "How can I take the covenant box with me now?" So David did not take it with him to Jerusalem. Instead, he left it at the house of a man named Obed-Edom, a native of the city of Gath. It stayed there 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom's family and everything that belonged to him. May God bless the reading of His Word. Well, because of what God does to Uzzah in chapter 13, I'm going to rerun my comments from episode 328, in which we read of this same event in 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you were with me then, please bear with me and our new listeners. It's important, I think, to have a better understanding of why God reacted as He did. So here we go. Well, David is finally king over all Israel. At God's direction, Samuel had anointed him as the future king when he was a shepherd boy of about 12 or 15 years old. And as we read today, he was 30 when God finally put him there. God always keeps His promises, but we never know what His timing is going to be. And upon taking the throne, David decides that the Lord's chest, better known as the Ark of the Covenant, should have a proper home. It had been captured years before by the Philistines, and then brought back to Israel, where for some time it was in the home of Abinadab. Now, there are some passages in Scripture that are hard to understand. This is one of them. Scholars have some ideas, but still some people really struggle with the following scene. First, I'll recap what happened, then I'll give some possible explanations. The ark is loaded onto an ox-drawn cart to make the trip from Abinadab's house to David's city. The two sons of Abinadab, Uzzah and Ahio, went with it. Ahio was in the front to lead the oxen. Uzzah was close behind. Something happened that caused the oxen to stumble, which Uzzah evidently thought threatened to cause the ark to fall. So he put his hand on the ark to steady it. Well, God was angry at that, and He struck Uzzah dead. It's hard for a lot of people to understand God's reaction to Uzzah's actions here, and we're told that David became angry at God for doing this as well. So, what happened? Why did God do it? Here are the thoughts of scholars. First off, when God gave his instructions to the Israelites on how they were to build the ark, he was very clear about the most minute detail, including how it was to be transported and who was to move it and who was allowed to touch it. It was never to be put onto a cart, but it was to be carried by Kohathites only. There were two poles that went through two loops on each side of the ark, and these poles were to be placed on the Kohathites' shoulders, bearing the ark between them. And no one but a priest was to touch the ark, because the ark had the very presence of God upon it. Remember, this all happened before the Messiah had come, and only the priests had direct access to God, and only priests could perform the sacrifices that could cover the sins of the people. The ark represented a holy and an awesome, in the very real sense of the word, awesome God. And God had made it very clear how it was to be honored, because it was a reflection on how they were to honor God himself. So, by putting the ark on the ox-drawn cart, they were all guilty of transgressing God's direct instructions. So why was Uzzah killed? Touching the ark was a direct violation of God's clear instruction. It could be that God saw the condition of Uzzah's heart, that he didn't have the proper attitude toward it. It had been in Uzzah's house, after all, for some time, and maybe he had just become indifferent to it. We must not become indifferent to God. He is God, the creator of all that is, the one who gives us life and sustains us. It could be that Uzzah had a cavalier attitude regarding God's word. He didn't think it was important to sweat the details. Maybe his reaching out to steady the ark reflected a lack of faith on Uzzah's part that God somehow needed his help. What we might want to draw from this is that we need to pay attention to what God says, and we should do all that we can to be obedient to him. Yes, he is loving and he is merciful, but he is also holy, and it is important that we never forget that. It is his holiness and justice that requires payment for sin. It is his love that made a way for me and for you to not have to make the payment for our own sins. It is his holiness and justice and love that required the sacrifice of his son in my place and yours. Because of his holy and his just nature, he couldn't just overlook the sin. It had to be dealt with. I'm thankful that God made a way for me to escape his wrath, and that he has offered that way, that gift, to anyone who will receive it. If you'd like to leave a comment, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 456.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. You know, theoretically, this podcast is made possible in part by listeners who participate in the value for value concept. I say theoretically because I didn't receive any special 456 donations over the weekend. If you're receiving value from the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, then I do need your support. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, "Those who work deserve their pay." I don't say this to guilt you, it's what Scripture says. Listen, if you can't afford to send a gift, that's fine. I'm happy to provide the show to you for free. But if you can't afford even a small gift, I know that God will bless you. This is as much for you as it is for me. If you listen every Monday through Friday, you're getting about 5 hours a month of Bible reading and commentary from me. Isn't there some value there? Okay, enough said. Details on how you can donate and help to make a difference are at support.lifespringmedia.com. And as always, my thanks to my friendly editor for his consistent support of the show. support.lifespringmedia.com. Until tomorrow, I pray that God will bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.